Book of Revelation, chapter 1. Verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein. For the time is at hand. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. You said that your word would not return to you void, but it would accomplish that which you please. And so we ask that your word would work in our hearts and that the Spirit of God could take the word of God and teach us things we need to know. At one point, some men came and asked that they wanted to see Jesus, so as we would see Jesus. And so we'd ask that the Holy Spirit would open it up to us from the Word of God, things about our Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray, Father, if there are any here, or that might be listening to a CD or a video, that do not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, that they would consider that eternal life is to know Christ, and they must know Christ before they die if they plan on getting to heaven. So, Father, we pray that the Holy Spirit would open up to any lost souls, the seriousness of rejecting Christ and the need, the desperate need to receive him as soon as they recognize that they are a sinner and lost and going to hell without him. Now, thank you for this time. We just commit it to you in Jesus' name. Amen. I have a question for you. How many of you know much about prophecy? How many of you know anything about prophecy? How many of you have read the book of Revelation before? All right, I see that. Okay. All right. I just didn't know exactly where to begin. I didn't know if we should start on the senior level of seminary or maybe go back to first class of Bible college. When I went to Bible college, they give you an entrance exam. I'd gone to church all my life. And I flunked 70% of that test, which was, I'm not real fond of Sunday school books or Sunday school lessons because that's basically what we had a lot of. So what I am going to attempt to do is give you an overview of the book of Revelation and give you some facts and some knowledge and things like that. And there's a reason I'm doing that. I have not spent much time in prophecy for the last 35 years or so. Before that, I'd done quite a bit. I'd even taught it on the radio in my wife's hometown. And one of the leading citizens in community, he wanted all the tapes. And he told me he'd love to come to our church, but his business couldn't stand it. He was the local photographer in this little small town, about 2,200, and there's, I guess, social things. We were just a little small Baptist church in town. Now, the book of Revelation is complicated. It's not easy. And I have spent a lot of time just thinking, am I crazy to teach this? I've taught it before. I got some notes I brought with me. I taught it back in 2017. I can't even hardly remember that. Before that, I've taught Revelation, and I've taught Daniel years ago and Zechariah. I did have some advantage in that I sat under some men that were really knowledgeable in this subject, and it's a very complicated subject. To cover this, some of my teachers, I don't know if you've ever heard of guys like Tim LaHaye, Dr. Jeremiah, and different guys, Walvert, and I sat under the teaching of Dr. Rowry, if you've ever heard of him, at a Bible camp. I was at the Bible camp one summer, and the leader brought in these giants. And we'd sit there all summer as they would teach. So what I'm going to do is just sort of give you an overview in the area of prophecy. And I am not a scholar in this area, but it's about Jesus Christ. There's so much of it about Jesus Christ that it says about a third of the Bible is covered. It covers prophecy. And so there's a reason I'm doing it at this time. And the reason I'm doing it is in case there's not an opportunity to do it next year. Because they say that when a government, when the, all three branches of our government have one control, you have a tyranny if it's in the bad side. And you can maybe just put the pieces together of where we're at. I'm not going to talk about persecution a lot, but that has been happening in our country in the last year on an unprecedented scale. I have some things I might read to you from some key men in our country about what's been going on. So what I want to do then is have you, and I've got some more of these little cards, each time you are here, try to get at least one blessing from the Word of God for yourself and write it down. So you should at least get 9 blessings if you come to all 9 messages. And I'm going to talk to you about this a little bit in verse 3. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. God wanted this book read. He wanted it understood as much as we can. And there are different views. There's probably 4 major views on it, and I'll probably go through some of that. It's really interesting. If you understand those 4 views, it's like just a big piece of puzzle, just putting it all together. So I'll explain some things in the view that I take. Basically, and I may put some tiles up here to show you the timeline. The next thing to happen in prophecy, and we've been in a pause, we've been waiting, is the Lord to come back. And it's going to come in the air, and I'll go through scriptures on that in 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians. But what's called is the rapturo, the taking out of the church. Some believe that's going to happen at different times. I'm pulling for the first time. Then some say it's going to happen in the middle of the tribulation. And I'm sure hoping we don't have to go through the first half of the tribulation. Some said the church is going to go all the way through the tribulation, and it's going to be terrifying as we go through the book of Revelation. I'll explain some things a little bit as I get going about symbols and types and things like this. Back in 2018, Keith Daniel and I were at a conference out in California. And then I'd got him lined up with a South African there in a church. And coming back, flying out of Los Angeles, I was sitting next to a guy that works on drones. I don't know if you know it, but they make drones the size of a fly. And that drone can take you out, can kill you. It could be sitting up on a wall or something. The technology is unbelievable. And what's going on nowadays. And I may read to you some different things that's going on. So I want you to get a blessing. I want you to get a blessing out of this. And we're going to go through, I'm going to go through several different things. And I'll just go till you pass out, I guess, each time. But there's value in contrast. And so we're going to contrast Jesus Christ with the Antichrist. And I sat down just before I came here, and I went through the first chapter of Revelation, and I wrote down how many times that there was a reference to Christ. And I don't know where I wrote it down, somewhere back here. Like 52 times in chapter 1. And then I went to chapter 22, and there's 34 references. I averaged that out at 43. Multiply that times 22, that would be 946 references to God, the Holy Spirit, or Jesus Christ. Now, I don't think there's that many because he got some chapters, but I think there's at least probably 300 or 400 references to the Almighty or the Lamb or something like that about God in these 22 chapters. It's about Jesus Christ. And so it's about Jesus Christ and a conflict with Antichrist. Years ago, I think I went through the Bible with the battle back and forth. So with that being said, let me start off with a little something about Jesus Christ. 23 prophecies about Jesus Christ. And I'll do the 23 contrasts. Let me do 18 prophecies about Christ real quick. I'll give you the Old Testament prophecy and then the New Testament fulfillment. And you'd have to probably take speed notes if you want to. You can copy this down after, you can take pictures or whatever. But he was to be born of a virgin, Isaiah 7:14. Matthew 1:23 was the fulfillment. He was to be of the seed of Abraham, Genesis 12:3, references, Galatians 3:8, and of course all over. Of the tribe of Judah, Genesis 49:10, Hebrews 7:14. Of the lineage of David, Psalms 110, 3, or verse 1, and then Romans 1:3. Of course, a lot of these you can find more references all over. Of the to be born at Bethlehem, Micah 5:2, fulfilled in Matthew 2:6. To be anointed of the Spirit, Isaiah 61:1 and 2, fulfilled in Matthew or Luke 4:18 and 19. Ride into Jerusalem on an ass, Zechariah 9:9. And by the way, the detail of some of these prophecies and the fulfillment is just, and if you put down the mathematical possibility of these things to all be fulfilled, it just goes off the chart for this many prophecies to be fulfilled. And I'm just scratching the surface here. So to ride into Jerusalem on an ass, Zechariah 9:9, Matthew 21:4 and 5. To be betrayed by a friend, Psalms 41:9, John 13:18. To be sold for 30 pieces of silver, Zechariah 11:12 and 13, fulfilled Matthew 26:15 and 27:9 and 10. To be smitten and the sheep scattered, Zechariah 13:7, Matthew 26:31 and 56. To be pierced in his hands and feet, but not a bone broken, Psalms 22:16, 34:20. John 19:36, 20, and 25. Given gall and vinegar to drink, Psalm 69:21, Matthew 27:34. To part his garments and cast a lot for his vesture, Psalms 22:18, Matthew 27:35. To be forsaken of God, Psalms 22:1, Matthew 27:46. To be buried with the rich, Isaiah 53:9, Matthew 27:57 through 60. And to rise from the dead, Psalm 16:8 through 11 and Acts 2:24. To ascend on high, Psalms 110:1 and Ephesians 4:8. To sit at his Father's right hand, Psalms 110:1 and Matthew 22:43 through 45. And to come again and set up his kingdom, Daniel 7:13, 14, 18, 22, and 27. Those are all verses. Matter of fact, let's just go over there and read those verses. And fulfilled in Revelation 12:10. So we get in at least one passage of Scripture with all of this that I'm doing. And I haven't got a lot of verses marked, so you can beat me there. Zechariah is near the end of the Bible, there it is, right before Malachi. And that was Zechariah 13, was it? Daniel. We will be in Zechariah later on. Daniel chapter 7. Daniel has an amazing description of Christ. 7:13. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before me. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. And those, I'll just read those two verses. Well, let me go to 18. I'm going to just go through and pick out verses 18, because these will have some references to the kingdom as we go down through here. 18, but the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. We'll be reigning with Christ. And then 22, until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time that the saints possessed the kingdom. And then slip down to 27, pick up one more. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. One of the things, as we go into it, a kingdom was promised to Israel. They were promised a king, a kingdom, and so... If the next thing that happens in prophecy is that Christ will come and take the church out, then there's prophesied 7 years of tribulation. At the end of that 7 years of tribulation, Christ will come back down and establish his kingdom. And there's several things that are going to happen right in that area. Then 1,000 years of the kingdom, and Christ will be the king of those years. At the beginning of that, Satan will be bound. He'll be loosed at the end of the 1,000 years. And then he's going to make one final attempt to destroy God. He's not a quitter. He's not a quitter. I've heard of a lady one time, and maybe I told you this, that she never said anything negative about anybody. So somebody asked her about what she thought about the devil. Remember that? She said, well, he's a busy fellow. Well, there's something else positive, too. He's not a quitter. But the reason he's not a believer, he believes he can beat God. He's got that much power. He just believes that he can beat God. And it's just really amazing. But he's not a believer. He doesn't believe that he's going to get defeated. All right. let me go back here to the beginning here. I've got several things to maybe just mention by way of introduction and going into this. I wrote down, don't sweat the details, just get the big picture. There's a lot of details in this book. And Daniel has more things. We won't probably do much in Daniel. Zechariah has things about it. Matthew is a pretty complicated book to understand and study prophetically. But I want you to get the big picture of what's going on. And the reason for that is that we should not be ignorant. We should not be ignorant of Satan's devices. We should at least have an idea of what's going on. Because I'm telling you, things can change overnight. Just overnight, things can change. I was pulled aside probably about 10 years ago by one of the leading Christian lawyers in this country. I was at a conference and he pulled us pastors back in a room and he said, boys, the government is coming after you and it's coming after the churches. And that was about 10 years ago. And he's just saying, you've got to get ready for what's coming. So that's one of the reasons so that we will not be taken off guard and that maybe we can at least have some kind of idea of what's going on if things happen overnight. So I want you to get a blessing out of this. I want you to learn more about Jesus Christ. We're going to see the contrast of Satan through here, but be blessed. God promised a blessing. God promised a blessing. Okay, there's warnings in here, but we're going to look for Christ, we're looking for Christ to come, and there's going to be signs and all kinds of things given. Okay, let me say these things down here then. I've got a whole list of things. I just said this, our world could be changed overnight, and that is very possible. When I read to you, I've got a little article here about how everybody is waiting for a wise man. Years ago, I was invited to meet with some pastors in Branson, and they showed us a documentary of Jerusalem. And they were showing all these pictures, and they had three different girls that were sort of going around looking at things, and they show them looking at things. One was Jewish, one was Muslim, and one was a Catholic to represent Christianity, so to say. And so they're showing you all these beautiful pictures and everything, and they're walking through looking at everything. At the end, you see all three of them coming together at one point, looking up the buildings. But that's the idea of Antichrist, to bring all the religions of the world together. There are things happening that I heard, it was several years ago, not too long ago maybe, how FEMA had infiltrated so many churches in the town I live in. Getting into the churches, becoming a part of it. The enemy learned after several years, at first 300 years or so, as the church was born, persecution, saw them into, boil them in oil and all of this, that there was a better tactic, and that was to infiltrate. And Satan's learned that's a really good way to go. And then also through the Dark Ages, there was a lot of killing of Christians. So the other areas of Daniel and Zechariah and Matthew I won't get into, and I won't get into the area of how much persecution is going on in the world or just in our country, because the news doesn't report it. But I am just, and when I read to you what, like this one man, he's very well known, has been a consultant to the presidents, but when he's trying to expose what's going on, they just begin to attack him terrible. And I can read you some things that he gave in a speech at Hillsdale College. So the persecution is going on. What has shocked me, it just floored me, and this is done him too and others, why did churches quit their prayer meeting? Why did churches all over the country, if you're going to quit a meeting, don't quit your prayer meeting. The early church was a prayer meeting. That's the main part of the church, is praying. But it's just amazing, and the control that's come without the authority. So, interesting things happening. Evangelism is our job. Evangelism is what we're supposed to be doing. Not necessarily go hide under a rock, but we're to be prepared and we're to be ready for an opportunity to share Christ. Okay, I'm going to start saying some things in this area of prophecy. Christ is coming in the air. In Acts chapter 1, the disciples are watching Jesus go up in the air. And basically the angel said, what are you guys doing standing here? He's going to come back the same way. They're up on the Mount of Olives. He just went up out of sight. And so he's coming again. And the early church just believed he was going to come back any day. And one of the things about a doctrine of basic Orthodox Christianity is the imminent return of Christ. Could happen any time. Nothing else needs to be. I was looking out the window today. We spent the night in the Minneapolis area there. And this morning I was looking out the window and, wow, Lord, we know you said you're coming, but we just really don't think about it. Like, all of a sudden I could be gone. This whole world could go into chaos, and of course they'll come along with an explanation about it. But his coming is coming. And matter of fact, if I go back over to Revelation, and the last thing that the Lord is saying, I'll start off in verse 17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. God is extending an invitation. He wants people saved. He wants people in heaven with him. And he's saying, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Prophetically, I was taught that when things begin to happen, they're going to happen fast. Just like that, things are going to happen. And let me read you this verse. In Revelation 19, and I fell at his feet to worship him, and he said unto me, see thou do it not. John's got an angel telling him things. He said, I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So this is an important subject. So he's coming. I'm going to go back over to a couple. I'm going to go back over to 2 Peter 3, 4 through 11. And I haven't, like I said, marked a lot of verses on this. But 2 Peter 3, 4 through 11, all through the New Testament, there's lots of reference to prophecy. 2 Peter 3, 4, let's see, is it 4 through 11? And saying, they're saying, where's the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved into fire against the day of judgment and perdition unto ungodly men. Someday God's going to destroy this old world, and there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. Okay, and 8. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but his long sufferings to us, who are not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You might wonder, why does God just let things keep going? Because he's waiting to get as many saved as he can. Some people, and I was involved in revival ministry for many years, and a lot of them believe that there's going to be revival. There's going to be a sweeping revival. I don't know. That's not prophesied. That's not in the Bible. Now, there could be revival because of things that are going to happen. Like back in 9-1-1, when that happened, there was some revival happening. There was people turning to God after they shook their fists at the enemy and said, you can't do this to us, but they can do that, and they did do that. But anyway, some people turned to God. A lot of people got saved. And when we see things begin to happen, we can have some revival. You should have revival in your heart right now. If God was to come right now, are you ready? You got something you need to take care of? Better do it. You got a bitterness against somebody? Did you steal something? You haven't made it right yet? All of a sudden you're before the Lord and we're going to have a judgment. By the way, during those 7 years while things are going on earth, there's going to be the judgment seat of Christ. Two things happening. The judgment seat of Christ, where Christ is going to judge us. If we're a Christian, that's already been taken care of at the cross. But we're going to be judged about things we probably wouldn't like to be judged about. So better get as much done here as you can. And then there's going to be the marriage supper of the Lamb, which is another thing in prophecy. So, 10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. By the way, there's reference to the day of the Lord, and that's generally believed to be these prophetic days that happen. That's the day of the Lord. And then there's another day in there called the day of Christ. And 11, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? I have a book over there. I just got it the day before I left, called, I've got it over there, called The Antichrist and Anti-Christianity. I was reading, anybody ever heard of the Berean Call? I was reading that, it was back in 2017, and he mentioned this book. And I could hardly believe it. He said he could hardly believe it. This book is just like he wrote it today. Only it was written over 120 years ago. And he just used scripture. And the guy that's promoting this book back in 1899, back in those, was the president of Moody Bible Institute. And if I'd had it, I'd read it to you. I'll do that later on. How he's saying this thing is just basically solid, but he's just got the scriptures. And he's talking about the pantheism and all the stuff that was going on back over 120 years ago. He wouldn't have believed it today. We got all the stuff that's indoctrinating America, getting us all ready. Of course, the churches are going into the New Age movement, and they've got the yoga and all the stuff, the demonic stuff is all over the place. But you ever heard the term Mother Earth? The worship of the earth, God is in the tree. I guess it was some Hindu, he's going around knocking on trees. God, are you there? God, are you there? He was really looking. They're knocking on a stone. Are you there? So, interesting things. By the way, when the Antichrist comes around, he's going to know all about this stuff, and it's really pretty incredible. Anyway, we'll get into that. Let me read you another passage, 2 Thessalonians 2, and we'll come back to this 2 Thessalonians probably more than once. 2 Thessalonians 2, 1 through 12. I don't know if I read them all right now, but we'll jump in a little bit. Paul, in writing to the church, is addressing doctrinal errors. You always have people come around with some kind of doctrine, whatever. And so some of the Christians were concerned that they'd missed the rapture. And some of them were concerned about those that already died and those different things. And 1 Thessalonians 4 addresses some of these issues. And 2:1, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth, this man of sin is Antichrist, who opposeth and exalted himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Now, to me, that's interesting, because they don't have a temple there. But they're ready to build it. They got everything ready for their sacrifices again, and they can get it done fast. You know those Jewish people over there, they can do amazing things. You don't want to mess with them. When I was over there in 1968, they just had the Six-Day War 1 year before. I didn't get to go because I got cut off, but God let me go a year later. But I'm sitting in a boarding house. I went over to the Hilton to check on the rooms. So I went across the road and told, you better go over there. Mr. Narcissus, and he's telling me about that war, how God was fighting for them. And he said he had a nephew that started off from the bottom of the Golan Heights, and he had jet black hair. And when he got to the top, his hair was snow white. He said it was so obvious that God was fighting for us in that war. So you don't want to mess with him. And so there's going to be this man of sin who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God. And they're ready to build that again. By the way, did you know that when they conquered in 1967, because I went over there 1 year later in 68, that they conquered the mount where the Dome of the Rock is. Underneath there is a rock. It's probably the place where Abraham sacrificed Isaac or was going to. And they conquered that whole area. But they let the Muslims, out of kindness and generosity, have access back to the Dome of the Rock. But it really was theirs. They conquered it as part of the conquest in the land. Then, of course, it turns around. They don't want any Jews up there. But this man of sin, isn't that an interesting term? I have an article here. I was going through it today. The American Thinker. The title of it, Waiting for a Wise Man. This is what's going on in this world. They're looking for a wise man. And it's an interesting article. Let me just maybe read you a little bit. There's interesting things said all the way through here, and then going back into history, how people will drift to a leader and how these leaders have learned to get control of people. There's something said in here about how these type of people will not miss the opportunity to take advantage of a crisis to get control of people. Interesting, isn't it? Human beings being an abstruse and potentially dangerous, have an abstruse and potentially dangerous impulse. We yearn to be led by a wise man. The human desire for an enlightened ruler, whether that leader is spiritual and or secular, is ancient. It is widely shared, and it is a seemingly inlutable human dream. We need to wake up from our reveries for a political sage. It is time to stop waiting for a wise man. This world is looking for a wise man. The Muslims are looking for their Messiah. Everybody's got their, the Hindus are looking for theirs. He's going to show up. The ones they're looking for, ours has already come. Our Messiah, it's already come. The fact that most people need to be led has been known for a millennia. About 25 years ago, there was a sophist, Protagoras, claimed the masses of people notice nothing. They simply echo what their leaders tell them. And he goes into other things about this guy. Whether it be these wise philosophers in Greece or whatever, behind all the politics, whether communism or we got the Hitlers, the Stalins, the Napoleons, behind all of that is Satan. He wants to kill and destroy people. He wants to destroy. And the reason, the philosophy is crazy. The way to conquer is destroy. But when, like communism conquers a country, they destroy it. It's not any good anymore. It never does come back up. Years ago, we had two doctors. Remember, I told you about them in our church? They left Nicaragua because the communists had taken over. And then they went back years later, and they said the country's destroyed. So this is what Satan is. And he wants to conquer this whole world and be the king. In the process of conquering, he's going to destroy the whole world, and God's going to destroy him. Just interesting things. I'll maybe read one more thing. I got several interesting things, and there's some things back here I'd really like to share. But Christianity and Judaism visibly address the human desire to be guided by a wise man by defining the need as spiritual rather than political, and by positioning the fulfillment of that need in the future. The fulfillment has been met in Christ for us. Satisfaction of the desire for a wise man is properly defined as love and longing for the Messiah. We have our wise man. He's the Lord Jesus Christ. Critics of Judaism and Christianity rarely see this crucial point in terms of safely satisfying the human need for a sage. A messianic eschatology simply makes sense. If I may address the non-believers and atheists reading this, if any desire qualifies for sublimation, it is the desire for a wise man living here and now to run our lives. If Jesus Christ is not your wise man, what are you searching for? What are you waiting for? He is God, the most wise. Like most perils, the menace of the desire for a wise man is a present danger. I've been thinking about that today, how everything is getting set up for the Antichrist. Our country is in chaos. The whole world's going to go into a chaotic state, and then all of a sudden, this man's going to show up that solves all the problems. Economic, he's a military genius. Just solemn, I'll go through these things later on about the Antichrist. But you're going to have 3.5 years, as we go through the timeline, in the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period, he's going to establish peace. In every area, there's going to be peace except for believers. It's not going to be peaceful. This is why you want to go out on the first train out, the rapture. You don't want to wait and get saved in the tribulation period, because there's going to be things done that they are already planning on, called a mark of the beast. Can you imagine what will happen if you can't get on a plane unless you have been vaccinated? Can you imagine if you can't get into a grocery store unless, I mean, things can change overnight. Could become very bad. The making is all there. Anyway, I better get off the wise man. I'll share some more nice stuff about that later on. Okay, his coming is, the first thing is the rapture to come out. Then he's going to come back at the end of the tribulation period and come to the earth. He's coming to the earth. In Zechariah 14, 4 and 5 says, his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives. That's where he left. And so he's coming in the air, and he's coming back to the earth to establish his kingdom. Go back to 1 John 2, 18 and 22. We're building up to do an overview of the book of Revelation, and there'll be a lot of details in there that... a lot of symbols and stuff like that. 1 John 2:18. Antichrist is mentioned 4 times. Let's look at those. 2:18. Little children, it is the last time. It's been 2,000 years or so, the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know it is the last time. Look at 22. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, that's 21, that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. I research. I do a lot of research and things like that. The things going on in the churches is incredible. Years ago, I had a list of a lot of our leaders, how they were getting together. Here's what they do. Let's get together on the things we agree. Forget about the things that we got our differences on, like the atonement, the blood of Christ is only shed for salvation. Drop that. That's controversial. We believe in God. Oh, yeah, we all believe in God. Okay. What about the incarnation, that Christ came and took on a body? Well, you got to drop that. That's controversial. The Muslims don't like that. The Hindus don't like it and all this. And so they're getting together on the few things they do agree, and they're compromising their denominations and their churches. Just would rot your socks to know really how subtle and deceptive things are that's going on. So, another verse is 1 John 4:3 on the Antichrist. By way of our introduction, getting ready, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Go back to verse 3. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God, and this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. Think about it. 2,000 years ago, the most dangerous times are when it seems like it's peaceful. Well, it's not peaceful. Christians in China, they believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior at the peril of their life. And we know it's pretty bad over there. 2 John 7. For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. The slipping in of the world into the churches, into the schools, back 50 years ago, and then longer than that, when I was in Bible college, it was being slipped in then, the world. The reason I went to Bible college is I wanted to know the Bible and I wanted to know God. I'd already gone to college some, and I'd already gone through 4 years in the Air Force. I'd gone through school, all kinds of stuff. So I want to know God. And while I'm there, I have to leave this Bible college because they're slipping in stuff. Maybe it's okay. I had to take 8 hours of zoology, they said, if you're going to graduate from this school. It became a university. 8 hours of zoology. I've gone to the zoo before. I've seen a zoo. Why do I want to, you know? But here's what they're doing. They're wanting to get accreditation to become a college, become a university. In order to do that, they've got to get more of the world in there to pretty soon you just got a liberal arts college at the best. And you got a Bible course here maybe or something, but 90% of it is the world. And they send their kids in there. And seminaries are bad because of the liberalism that's taught in there. So John is writing because of doctrinal error. The spirit of Antichrist is already there. And John, let's see, was it 2:22, 1 John 2:22, where he said, Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. It'd be hard to believe that in my denomination that I was raised in down south, I've got those somewhere in the statistics, that when the students went in there believing in the deity of Christ, it was like 90-something percent of them. When they come out, the percentage was very small. So the spirit of Antichrist had been working a long time. The Antichrist, is he the enemy of Christ? Yes, but he's also going to conject himself as a false Christ. He's going to actually set himself up to be God. So this is why we should study this subject, so we'll have some knowledge about him and about the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to read this to you, and I might read this again. And I see it's getting late. But here's from Gregory Mantle, 1853-1925. He was associated with A.B. Simpson and very good man. He said, it is particularly important in an age of phenomenal lawlessness and unrest like the present, when everything is ripening for the reign of the Antichrist, that we should understand the scriptures regarding this man of sin. He is called by the Apostle Paul. One more statement and I'll quit. He said, to refuse to devote careful study to the remarkable personage who is to arise at the end of the age and who is commonly known as the Antichrist is a serious omission. So the devil doesn't want us to study prophecy, doesn't want us to know about him. Any good general is going to know his enemy. And we as soldiers of Christ should know our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and know the enemy, should understand. Let's pray. Father, thank you. This is it's heavy stuff, and I'm not real good at it. But I pray that when we're done, that we would be blessed in understanding that our Lord Jesus Christ, we're more than conquerors in him. And you're going to just bump the devil off. That's it. He's done. And the victory is ours. But you're giving the human race a chance to choose. Who do they want to love? Who do they want to serve? Who do they want to spend eternity with? I want to be with Jesus. I want to be in eternity with God. And I pray again, if there's any here without Christ, that they would consider that things could happen tonight even. They need to repent and receive Christ right now. Would you give them the grace to do that? In Jesus' name, amen.